Welcome to Limitless, the Bland Beginnings podcast where seeing things differently inspires limitless possibilities. This podcast is being brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Limitless was created in order to inform, educate, entertain, and share stories from within the blind and partially sighted community, in order to show the world that the opportunities for those who are blind or partially sighted are truly limitless. And now, it is my pleasure to introduce you to your host, the executive director and founder of Blind Beginnings, Sean Marcellet.
Welcome back to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet, and this episode is being released close to Valentine's Day. So we thought it might be interesting to talk about dating when you are blind or partially sighted. And I have two guests with me today, Keisha and Kaya. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the podcast. Keisha coming back again and Kaya for the first time. And both are Blind Beginnings youth leader, youth mentor folks. Can you maybe introduce yourselves to our listeners a little bit about your vision and maybe also share with us how long have you been with your current partner?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Kaya. And my vision, I still have working vision. I'm still counted as legally blind, but I can't read print. I've been dating my partner for almost a year now.
Yeah, my name is Keisha and I have retinitis pigmentosa and I have a little tiny bit of vision, but it's like, yeah, not too much. I am definitely a cane user and a braille user. And I have been with my current partner for just over 2 months.
Oh, it's pretty early on.
It's pretty early.
Nice. Kaya, do you use a white cane?
I do, yes.
Okay. I'm just curious because, you know, whether your visual impairment is obvious, visible to prospective partners or not is kind of relevant to what we're talking about.
Yeah, I use it sometimes.
Okay.
If I'm with people that I know, I tend not to because they kind of become my guides because mm-hmm. I have enough vision to see a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But if I'm with people that I don't really know or don't feel comfortable asking, then I will bring my cane.
Okay. Awesome. And I will be contributing to the conversation too. And I have been with my husband for 10 years this January. So crazy. And yes, and I should mention that all of our partners are sighted. So the discussion is kind of about dating when you are blind or partially sighted, but the person you're dating is not. So how did you guys meet? Because I feel like meeting somebody is one sort of the first challenge of dating.
I actually, it's an interesting story because I met my boyfriend on Bumble, okay. The dating app. And it's funny because like I was always like a big proponent of trying to meet people in person and, you know, a hopeless romantic about meeting someone in person. And I have had other boyfriends in the past who I've met in person. But, you know, with COVID and everything happening, I was like, well, you know, let's give this Bumble app a try and, you know, deal with the accessibility issues that it does pose. which, yeah, that's a whole other thing. So that's how we met.
Okay. What about you, Kaya?
I was part of my school's chamber singers and he sang bass and I sang soprano and he was the quirky one that always caught my attention and we'd just joke at each other and he'd call me hot in like really weird voices and I called him hot back and eventually for me it didn't become a joke, it was the truth, and so that's how we met.
Aw, so Kaya does have the romantic story because I'm with you, Keisha. I met my husband through Plenty of Fish. I don't even know if that's still a thing. But yeah, we met online as well. And yeah, it's because it's hard. It's hard to meet people. And interestingly, you know, my husband sold truck accessories. It's not like we would have met otherwise.
My boyfriend's a tradesman as well.
So. Right. So yeah, like our worlds would not have collided. I don't think there's a way that we would have. And, you know, meeting somebody, I don't know, in a restaurant or in a bar or something like that is, I don't know how that actually works. It's never happened for me. So I guess my next question is, how did you know they liked you? Because, you know, again, like if they're checking us out, that's kind of visual. We might not see that. If they're smiling at us, winking, any of those sort of flirty visual things, it's going to be wasted. So Kaya, it sounds like he was verbally flirting with you and you caught on to that.
Well, I always thought that it was a joke when he would openly flirt with me, and that's what everyone around us said. But I started getting the inkling that he liked me when every person around us thought we were dating. Like my O&M teacher saw us interact and she's just like, does he like you? And I'm like, I don't think so. And like my grandparents thought we were dating. His dad asked him if we were dating. Like everyone thought we were dating. And so I eventually was just like, well, maybe he does like me.
It's a little different with the whole online thing because the whole purpose is to find somebody. I don't know what Bumble's like. I'm assuming it is a dating app. It's not like a friend app.
Well, so there is a couple versions of Bumble. There's like the friend version where you're searching for friends. And then there's the version where you're specifically seeking someone to date.
Okay.
And that was the version that I was using. So yes, like when you match with somebody, they've already matched with you. So they better like you. Well, they think they like you based on, you know, your profile, and they think that you might be of interest to them.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about disclosure in terms of the online dating thing. Did you say you were blind? Did you have photos of you with your white cane?
Nope.
What did you do around that?
So my philosophy with dating online and also with applying for a job, my philosophy is disclose once you've already gotten an interview.
Okay. Or a date in this case.
Well, actually, not quite. So with a job, it's an interview. But with this particular situation, we were already talking a little bit, or, you know, already kind of hitting it off, I would say. And then I did disclose because I didn't think it would, like, I thought it would be a better thing to be honest about it and not just show up to the date and them feel really uncomfortable. Also, it would give them a chance to be like, deal with their discomfort before I met them in person. And if they had questions, and they could ask it before, rather than spending the whole date like, oh, what's blindness? Tell me all about your blindness. Mm-hmm. So I was like, and so it would be more comfortable for them, more comfortable for me. And so I disclosed before we actually met in person. And my kind of method for disclosing with online dating is kind of just like being really forthright and kind of joking it off a bit. Like, mm-hmm. I can't remember how I exactly went about it, but it was definitely like, I just went for it, I think. And it was just like, pretty sure I cracked a joke surrounding it. And I don't know.
But it wasn't on your profile? Like, it's not something he saw before he started talking to you?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you still had to like drop the bomb at some point.
Yes.
So to speak. Right. Yeah. Okay. That's stressful.
Mm-hmm.
I did try that when I very first started online dating. I've had one boyfriend and a husband that I met this way. And the first time around, I didn't say that I was blind in my profile. But as soon as we started emailing, I had one situation where, you know, it was like, he sent me a message, I responded. He sent me another message, I responded, said that I was visually impaired, and then I never heard from him again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was kind of like, yeah, I was like, okay, you're a shallow jerk. All right. Good screening device here. I figured that out early. But then I decided to just put it on my profile, but I did it in a really, what you're saying, a really jokey kind of way. Like, first I mentioned a whole bunch of other things about myself. And then at the end, it was sort of by the way, I should also mention that I have, you know, I'm visually impaired, but that's actually an advantage to you because I can't see if you're checking out other women. And if you're having a bad hair day, I won't notice. And we can get into movies 2 for 1. And like, I just played it up like it was a perk. Mm-hmm. And that seemed to work. So, because, yeah, I think if you portray it in a positive way, it doesn't scare people away so much. And I have to say that my husband, his initial initiation to me was a question about goalball, because I listed goalball as one of my interests. And of course, nobody, and I did that on purpose again. Like, it was like, if you're curious enough, you want to find out, you can Google it. And so that was his question to me was, what is goalball?
Yeah.
Like, really excellent pickup line. But anyway,
I super appreciate like the online dating people who actually, you can tell that they actually looked at your profile.
And read it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Besides just your pictures.
Yes. Oh yeah. Cause I was pretty generous. I would say if anybody asked me a question, I would respond. Mm-hmm. So, cause I guess that's the next thing is like, how do you know if you're interested in them? We can't see the picture, or if it's real life, we can't see the person. So we're not necessarily judging on what they look like, and certainly not on an online profile. I was more interested in, you know, yeah, like the details about them, what they were looking for and what qualities they had.
So it's really interesting for me, because turns out, well, I just did a little bit of digging, and it turns out that my one of my best friends actually knew who my boyfriend was.
Oh, wow.
And they grew up in the same town. And so, because I was very nervous. I was like, you know, is this guy legit? You know, is he an axe murderer? I don't know. Mm-hmm. and so it was really comforting when she was like, yeah, no, this guy's a good person. Yeah. And then when we met in person, like, I had really good vibes, and I think he did too. So
that just reminds me of my my first date. I was like, I don't want you to pick me up at my house because I don't want you to know where I live. So I'll meet you in front of the old spaghetti factory. But he picks me up and I get in his truck and we're driving away. And he's like, so I'm assuming you've got somebody writing down my license plate number. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, that would have been smart.
Yeah, totally.
Like, don't pick me up in front of my house, but I'll get into your truck on our first meeting. Like, not smart. Don't do that, listeners.
Okay, that's almost exactly the same thing that I did. But anyway.
Wow, hopefully our moms so aren't hard. Listening.
Yeah, but I did text my friends and I was like, yeah, just so y'all know, if I don't text you in an hour, you need to check in with me.
Yeah, that's good. It's always good. I mean, you should be smart. Most of the time I would meet somebody, you know, a new person on foot, and they would be on foot and we would walk somewhere together, or it would be like, meet them already at the place you're going to go to, you know, like, yeah, don't get in a vehicle with a strange man that you've never met before. Even with online dating, when you started to date, like actually physically be with somebody in person, like how do we know when it's going well? When we think they are attracted, like Kaya, it went from other people thinking you were together before you actually were. When did you actually feel like, or how did you know, or when was the moment that you felt like, yeah, he does like me?
Well, what I had to do, I just asked him. We asked each other. I asked him if he liked anyone. And so I really didn't know for sure if he liked me or not. I just had to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so I also think when it comes to knowing things like attraction and stuff, it's good to set communication in words, where you're both speaking in words to each other about what you like about each other. And then it's easier to tell for someone like me to know what he likes and what he doesn't like and stuff. So communication's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's quite essential, because yeah, if there's subtle hints in body language, again, we're probably gonna miss that. What about you, Keisha? How did you know it was going well?
I when we went on an actual date, I had a really good feeling about it. Like, and I don't know, I typically follow my gut instincts about things. And I don't know, I just, it was going really well. We were just like, we had a lot to talk about. We have a similar sense of humor. I don't know, we were having a great time, so much that we extended our plans that particular day. And I'm, you know, I got vibes from him that he was into it as well. And I don't think he would have stuck around if he didn't want to.
Yeah. I think when the date ends up being longer than expected, that's generally a pretty good sign. Yes. Well, let's talk about physical attraction. Do you care what your boyfriend looks like?
Well, for me, since I still have quite a bit of working vision, it still doesn't matter as much, but it is something that's like a perk for me. It's not something that I'm looking for, like, oh, you're not physically attractive, so no. I honestly don't really care about physical attraction. It's more personality and mental stuff and emotional stability and things that are attractive. But as someone who still has some vision, it's nice to know that you find your boyfriend attractive.
I would say, like, similar to Kaya, like, the personality thing and like a sense of humor and adventure and like a drive to work, to do like a self-motivation and stuff like that. Like, that's really important to me. I also like, I think that, how do I say this? The way that like physical attraction does matter to me. The way that somebody looks matters to me in the sense that, particularly in the sense that like the way that somebody looks can reflect on how they're taking care of themselves and like the kind of life that they like to lead. I don't know, just if people are feeling good, like they think they look good and they're feeling good about how they look, then I just feel like that's a level of self-love that's a really great level to be at. Like without being like self-obsessed and like, oh, I am so fine.
Yeah.
Who's that guy in the mirror? No. Sometimes I do that. No, I'm just kidding. It's just when I need a pump up day. But yeah, yeah, I mean, I think I have a certain type for sure, but
yeah, definitely physical attraction, showing the care that you have for yourself is great. I think what mainly plays into that for me is confidence. Just confidence makes people physically attractive. And if you have the confidence to be like yourself and where you're at, then it really ups the amount of attraction you have for yourself and how others view you. So yeah, definitely someone who's confident in themselves is very physically attractive.
I had some rules when I was dating, so, and they're kind of superficial, shallow rules, but not maybe in the, you know, not like tall, dark, and handsome, but he had to be taller than me. I'm only 5'4", so that's not hard.
Actually, that was one of my rules as well.
Yeah. And my other one was, I wanted the guy that I ended up with to have bigger arms than I did. And because I was a competitive swimmer, I have really muscular arms, and I'm like, it's really embarrassing when you have bigger arms than your boyfriend, which I'm pretty sure I did when I was a teenager. Like, so those were my criteria. Oh, and I don't like facial hair, which of course all men have if they don't shave, but yeah, I really don't like it. I don't like kissing it. So my poor husband has to shave all the time if he wants to kiss me. But yeah, so for me, it's, you know, it's personality. It's, does he make me laugh? That's really important. Do we have fun together? Do we have some things in common? Good communicator, you know, like good conversations, just enjoy spending time together. And over time, when you've dated a few people, it's, does he annoy me when we spend lots of time together?
Yeah, you know, that's, yeah.
Yeah, because spending time with the same, like a lot, you know, consecutive days with somebody, most people irritate me after consecutive days. So to find someone that doesn't is part of the criteria, right?
Totally. Mm-hmm. Also, might I add good hygiene?
Oh, like, yeah. Oh, because, smell?
Like, as a visually impaired person, like, I'll be honest, like, smell is, like, a big thing for me. Like, that is part of attraction.
Totally.
Yeah. And, like, and just people who, like, can maintain hygiene or, like, you can tell that they're taking care of themselves. Yeah, I just think it's really important. Like, that being said, like, if, you know, if we're out hiking or doing whatever, like, obviously, like,
stop,
you know,
in
we're
the
gonna...
bush and put your deodorant on hour.
No. Like, we're going to get sweaty, and that's the thing, like, camping, whatever. But, like,
yeah,
you know, on a daily basis, like, yeah, that's a great.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I also, so what about voice?
Oh, yeah.
Deep voice. Actually, see, I lucked out. Bass singer right there.
There you go.
Deep voice right there. I lucked out. That's what I... And it's unique, so I can pick it out in a crowd. So it's just like, yes, that's what I want.
Yeah, voice is pretty important. I've never actually, like, pursued somebody based on their voice. But, you know, like a sighted person might see somebody's appearance and be like, oh yeah, and go after that. It's not like, ooh, that voice, I gotta meet that person. But if they have an annoying voice, it will just not happen. Like, that's mm-hmm. a deal breaker, right?
I agree. Like, and like, annoying being relative to each person, but like, for to like, yeah, to me, like, you know, there's certain people that I really love hearing and like mm-hmm. And that's part of the thing that you were saying, like, you need to have somebody who you want to be around lots. And
yeah, exactly. So did you ask, or have you asked anybody to describe your boyfriends to you?
I mean, I've asked my boyfriend to describe himself.
Oh, interesting.
I feel weird about asking the people around. And I know that it's like a lot of courage to do. But one day I just was really curious because, like, we'd sit so close to each other and he'd want eye contact, but my eye condition, my eyes like move, and I've never made eye contact with someone. And then I just really wanted to know what color his eyes were, because even sitting so close, I'm so colorblind, I can't tell. And so then I was like, I know this is an awkward question, but can you tell me what eye color you have? And he's like, that's not awkward at all. And then he told me, and it was just really sweet. So every time I want to know something about his appearance, I'm just like, hey, could you tell me about that? And then he doesn't mind.
Another funny story. kind of an awkward one. When I was on Bumble, like, I wasn't in it particularly with a particularly serious intent to, you know, find a mate. But but I was mostly on there kind of just like having fun. A couple of other like friends were on there too, and we would kind of like sit together and be like, you know, swipe together and talk about yeah. the guys we were swiping, like, ooh, you know, who have you matched with and this and that. And I actually had a couple friends who would sit with me, like one of my roommates was one of them, actually both of them at different times, would sit with me and like describe, because like I could read the bios and everything, mm-hmm. but like, you know, it's also, yeah. I feel it is a little bit important to see what they look like in case they're like, you know, there is a certain, you know, a few types that I do avoid just because, like, I know the book doesn't, you know, the cover doesn't matter when it comes to the book, but sometimes it can kind of indicate, you know, certain things. Mm-hmm. And you're allowed to be picky with dating apps, that's the thing. So they would go through and describe them to me, and they would describe their people too on their Bumble feeds. But anyway, so they would go through and describe, and so they did describe what my one roommate did describe my now boyfriend to me, and so that was pretty fun.
So if your friend said, oh no, like, not good looking, not attractive, would that be enough to kind of make you move on?
Well, the thing is like, my friends are pretty open-minded people. So, and I did say, like, here's what I'm not looking for. Mm-hmm. And so if they ever said no, I would trust them, because usually it meant something like quite significant. But sometimes they would be like, and I'd be like, does that mean you don't like them, or does that mean like you really don't think they're like a very good person based on like what's in their picture? And they're like, sometimes they'll just be like, nah, it's just because I don't like the way they look, but here's the description that I'll give you. And like, I don't know, like maybe the descriptions were kind of biased.
I don't think I had anybody describe him before I met him. I know that he had a picture on his page that apparently he was like big mountain bike guy. That was his hobby. And there was a picture of him like with a full beard looking all like he'd been out in the bush for a long time, which if I had seen that, I would not have probably given him a chance, but nobody told me that. And you know, but I mean, that is a thing. Like, okay, so I don't like facial hair, but guess what? I wouldn't find out that he had facial hair until we kissed, which could be a couple dates in. So, mm-hmm. Or you go to hug somebody, you know, after you've known them for a while, and that's when you really get a sense of what their body type is. Mm-hmm. So it can be, yeah, if you don't have a heads up at all, like, it can be quite a shock sometimes.
Well, that's why I think like physical touch comes in so much. Especially for me as a blind person, like to know those fine details, it's like weird to admit, but I like stroke his arm sometimes because they're like really muscly and nice. And so then because I don't see the definition that they have, but I want to know that it's there because I know mm-hmm. he works out all the time. So then physical touch is just one of those things that I use to like, this is what he looks like in quotes, and then I just kind of put it into my mental image.
I feel like we have to just make sure that everybody knows that blind people don't feel people's faces.
Yeah
No, definitely.
Not on the first date,
like, yeah, not as a let me check you out to see if I want to date you, not
I want to know if you have nice cheekbones.
I think that that's more of like a, it's not like a thing that we do, I think, right. At least.
Yes.
Not on a regular thing basis. I do.
The media, yeah, kind of perpetuates that stereotype. And I've had people in my real life say, do you want to feel my face? And it's always a creepy, weird question. So feel like I just needed to say that right now because we're talking about this. So, okay. So my husband, when we first met, he had a lot of assumptions about blindness. Like I remember on our first couple of dates, him saying things to me like, oh, so I guess you probably like listening to music, and which I do, but not because I'm blind. Like, so he was sort of in his mind, he was trying to think of things that I would enjoy as a blind person, but with a really narrow idea of what I might enjoy or what would be possible. I'm just wondering if your boyfriends had any of those misconceptions, or what did they think of blindness before dating you? Things you would pick up on, like just think comments he would make that would tip you off that he didn't know or didn't understand.
Yeah. For me, he didn't really do that much of that. I think it just came because he really wanted strong communication, that he just asked me like, so what, like, could you do? Like, I don't want to assume anything. So I think his assumptions now of blindness are kind of just built around what I've said, but it's not like it's set, they're changing. Mm-hmm. Well, he went into the relationship just thinking that blind people just work a bit differently and may have some disadvantages, but not like deal breaker or anything.
Okay, that's good.
My boyfriend, when I first disclosed the blindness before we even went on a date, he was like pretty cool about it, but he just had like a ton of questions, mm-hmm. which is totally to be expected. And like through the questions I could see that he had like some preconceived ideas, but like he was prepared to like admit that and was like more than willing to learn about things. And like he asked, you know, questions like, I remember him kind of, well, like one of the questions I remember him asking, like he was quite curious about like what I did for, because I have a part-time job, and he was like, what do you do for your work? Like, what do you, like kind of like, what mm-hmm. do blind people do for work?
Yeah.
And I kind of just like was like, well, here's my job, but also like, blind people can do like so many things. And I just kind of was like, I was like really like, I think I kind of gave him a hard time actually for the first little while. Cause I was like, you know, cause I was kind of like trying to see like if he was legit and stuff. And I was kind of like just being really forthright, like, yeah, blind people can do anything. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And thankfully he like decided that he still wanted to hang out with me despite me like kind of giving him a hard time. But no, he was always like really, really curious and just interested. And I like, you know, yeah. And then when we met in person the first time, I remember him kind of laughing when we were first going on a date, and because we were walking and like we had just met, so like we weren't like holding hands or anything like that. And I was using my cane to shoreline the path that we were on and the grass edge, which was also slash snow. And he was, I kind of heard him like chuckle, and I was like, what's what? And then he's like, well, like, you're like kind of like zigzagging around, and I don't really understand like what's going on. Like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but basically he like didn't realize what I was doing with the shorelining. And so I was like, oh yeah, well, you know, this is the shorelining technique. And I explained what it meant. And like, and he was like, oh yeah. And like, he always is like really interested in learning. And like, as time has gone on, like we've cooked together and we've gone and like done cool things together. And he just like kind of just takes it all in stride. And like, he's pretty open-minded, which I really appreciate.
My husband had a ton of questions also. And I was pretty, so after the second date, I kind of blew him off. I sent him an email, and I just really felt like he was not going to see past my blindness, because I have to say, like, I told him, you can ask me anything and I'm open to talk about anything. And so he did. But after two dates of just like feeling like I was at work or doing a blindness workshop, I was like, I don't think you can see anything else about me. Like, I just felt like that's all he could see was that I was blind, and he wasn't noticing anything else. And so I sent him this email basically saying that, and he was so offended. He was like, well, I do think I could see past your blindness, and I would have hoped I would have gotten more than a couple hours to do so. And like, anyways, I really offended him. And I kind of, you know, apologized and said, you know, maybe we could be friends, which is probably a mean thing to say to someone who likes you. So anyways, it almost ended at that point, but thankfully he was persistent. And so on our third date, we're not going to go sit in a restaurant and talk. I want you to see what I'm capable of, that, you know. And we actually went on a 4-hour hike around Bunsen Lake, which is a lake in Coquitlam. And it's got some sections that require some, you know, tricky footwork. And he guided me through the whole thing. And he did not even say the word blind the entire 4 hours. Like, he didn't ask me any questions about blindness. We talked so about scared. Other things. And yeah, by the end of that, I was, you know, like, okay, this is a cool guy. But because I had kind of blown him off, it took him forever to make a move after that, because he was thinking we were just in the friend zone now. And I was really starting to like him, but he was, you know, probably cautious because I had already pushed him away once. But it's hard, that balance of like, I want you to see me like a person, but I have this difference and I want you to understand it, but don't ask me too many questions. You know, I think it would be tough for a sighted partner.
With that, I really appreciate when since I still have working vision, I play video games and stuff, and he loves playing video games, so we play video games together. But when it's a game that I need to sit closer to the TV for, if we're like playing a co-op game, I love it when he still wants to be with me physically, so he'll like sit close to the TV with me, and it's not like a big issue. Like, I'll be like, you don't have to sit close with me because you have like 20/20 vision, you don't have to. And he's like, but I want to be with you, I can just go with closeness to be with you instead of. So I just really appreciate when people will join you in things when you feel like it's weird because you're blind.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, we talk about this a lot in the podcast. Like, one of the things that is like, that is always really exhausting is the day to day answering, like educating people constantly about blindness and, you know, that sort of thing. And like, sometimes it can be like enough to be like, ugh, like, do I really have to do this with a partner too? Like, so it's really like, that being said, like, of course I want a partner to know, so I want them to ask questions, but it is really nice at the end of the day, like when they do just like meet you where you're at, like Kai was saying, like, and you can take some time off from being a blind person, kind of, well, like, you know, you never do, but like, just kind of you're a person, and that's good enough.
It's weird because on one hand I was like, really, you know, it was a benefit that he wasn't fazed by the fact that I was blind. He had never really interacted with anybody who was blind before, but it didn't scare him off. It wasn't anything that he wasn't going to give a try, which gives like, that's a lot. He earned a lot of points for that. But then, you know, being curious and having lots of questions is like, well, how else are you going to, I don't know. It's just a weird balance of like, I want you to not care about this, but I want you to understand, but don't overdo it. You know,
it's a lot of requests for these guys,
right? Well, and it's, I mean, that's, it can be like that with friends too. Like, yeah, you want them to see past your blindness, but not so far past it that they don't acknowledge it at all, but then not be overly helpful, but be helpful enough. Like, it is, I think it would be hard to be, you know, somebody that is sighted that's really close to us sometimes. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm just difficult because I, you know, want to be perceived a certain way and I want to be independent. And so, what kind of dates are fun or not fun? Is there anything, you know, if you, especially like meeting somebody new, that you wouldn't do or wouldn't want to do? Or I'm talking more like activities.
For me, at least, like for a first date, I would rather be like, I'd rather not go for dinner. I'd rather not go to the movies because those things, like, kind of like with dinner, you're kind of stuck just sitting there. And like, if you aren't partial to the person, then you're just kind of sitting stuck there until you finish eating.
Yeah.
And then with a movie, you don't really have a lot of opportunities to interact. My favorite like first date is like going for a walk or like going for coffee, because it's like quick. If it's not working out, you know, it's not hard to get out. That being said, like, it can also be like really nice and a really good opportunity to like, talk and hang out. And like, as time goes on, like I love active dates, but I love all kinds of dates, like whether it's, you know, going to the movies or like just hanging out at home and, you know, doing stuff together. Like, yeah, I think like a wide variety is really nice. Adventures. I love adventures.
Do you, if you go for a walk, like, do you let them guide you? Do you teach them how to guide you? Do you just pick a route that you know really well and use your cane? What would you do in that situation?
Depends on the walk. Like for example, the walk that I went on with my boyfriend, it's a very straightforward just path, like a concrete path. So that it was like really easy for me to just navigate. And because I was like in a very independent mood and I wanted to give an impression of independence.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to like immediately like be like, oh, I have to rely on you right away. Mm-hmm. That being said, like, I've been on a first date hiking excursion where we were literally climbing over like cliffs and stuff.
Yeah, I will usually ask to take their elbow and just, you know, I don't give like a big sighted guide lesson, but just like, is it okay if I take your arm while we're walking, even like into the restaurant or wherever on the first date? And that's one area where I'm not I just find it difficult to use my cane and have a conversation and not like cut the person off or zigzag a little, or, you know, it's hard to keep a straight line. So I don't consider that really asking for help. But you mentioned being in a really independent mood. And I'm curious about that because I certainly felt the need to prove myself. Like, if you do have any misconceptions about blindness and that blindness equals helpless, I need to erase those ASAP. So I certainly felt pressured to like not need any help, or, you know, kind of like be my best self, be my most independent self in those early days, which is, you know, kind of tiring sometimes, right?
Totally. Yeah, I agree. I've spent a lot of time in my life feeling like I needed to prove my independence and determination and stuff to people all the time. So, you know, a boyfriend is not any exception. Mm-hmm. And particularly like I want to impress upon them that I'm a really independent and strong individual and very capable, et cetera, et cetera. But that being said, like, I also am like really trying to learn like when to like let my guard down a little bit and realize that, you know, you don't always have to be so, you know, stubbornly independent, and like they'll pick up on your independence through viewing the other things that you do in your life. And I think that is the case. So
yeah, it's something I'm still working on too. And it's even if I need a ride sometimes, you know, I'll be like heading out in the pouring rain to trek to the SkyTrain station, and my husband will say, well, I can drive you. I'm like, no, it's okay. And he'll be like, it's your truck too. You're paying for it. It's not a big deal, you know, but it's like, no, I'm not going to put you out. You weren't going anywhere. I'm not going to ask. Like, it's so silly. Yeah. And I have to just remind myself, yeah, you're right. I could take the ride.
Yeah, I think finding a balance between showing independence and asking for help is good, because I used to just try and not ask for help. And then I realized going over to his house for dinner with his family, they do like the buffet style where you go and grab stuff. And that's so much stress, because yes, I feel like I can't ask for help to tell me what food's there.
Yeah,
but then I just don't eat food, and they're gonna be like, why are you eating food? And then it looks bad. And so then like, you have to find the balance of when do I ask for help and when do I not. And
totally. Oh, dinner,
figure out
dinners, even if it's like pass the bowl around and, you know, put the food on your plate, and you never really know how much you got. And did I take too much? Did I take more than my share?
Okay, I hate.
I've taken the whole salad before.
No, I hate when they like, when they're naming it, but they're not like grabbing the bowl or anything. They're just pointing. They're like, that's the chicken, that's the thing. I'm just right. Like, I can't see what you're pointing at. You're just naming foods. I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, buffets are the worst. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Also, I really wanted to hear what you think are great dates.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I didn't really say mine because I kind of agree with you. I think just grabbing coffee and like going out for a walk is the best, because then you get to like interact with them in a more closed setting, and but then like go and actively walk and talk at the same time.
Yeah, totally.
I totally, after my, okay, I want to do things, we went a little crazy with things. So we went ice skating and cross country skiing and running and yoga and tandem cycling. And it was like, we didn't have dinner again for weeks because I was like determined to show him all the things I could do. Poor guy was probably exhausted. But then that was, I loved, because my boyfriend before him was really just mostly watched movies and sat on the couch. So it was kind of, I was just loving this, having this person that was willing to, you know, do things with me. It was so great. So
mm-hmm. I remember like in the, like, you know, being younger and just setting out into dating, and and being like, you know, thinking that being blind and dating was such like a huge thing. And like, you know, I was like, who would want to, you know, date me? Like, I was very self-conscious and like, had a lot of self-esteem issues surrounding all that. And we've talked about this before in other podcasts. Like, I feel like I see other people with stereotypes, but then I also have stereotypes about myself. And so like, I feel like I had stereotypes about myself. Like sometimes I'd be like, is it going to be weird to date as a blind person? Like, are people going to be like awkward about it? Like, I don't know. I guess to anybody who, you know, who is like out there, like beginning that journey of your life, like, don't overthink it too much. Like, be careful and like do all the things that everybody says you should do in terms of, choosing, you know, a good partner and whatnot and making good decisions, but like, don't overthink the blind thing too much. Like, there's some pretty cool people out there who see way past that. And like, maybe it'll take a little bit of time for them to get used to it. But like, if you can just like turn off your own thoughts about blindness for a little while, sometimes it can be helpful.
I actually dated somebody for a couple of years who we didn't have anything in common. And the reason I dated him was because he wasn't scared off by my blindness. It didn't faze him. He didn't care. It just wasn't a thing for him. And at that time in my life, that was like the biggest, I don't know, like that's all that mattered. You know, it was like, oh, this person will accept me even though I'm blind. So he must be an amazing person. And clearly I was not very confident at that point in my life. So mm-hmm. It's just like anybody, the more you love yourself, the more others are going to love you too. And once mm-hmm. you fully accept who you are and see your gifts for what they are, then others will see it that way too. And when you see that you're at a deficit, others are going to see you that way. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I definitely think with like, just don't settle down for either people who can't get past your blindness or like still aren't great people. If they do accept your blindness, you still have the ability to choose who you want to be with. And the people who can't get past your blindness, then like, they're missing out.
Yeah. Well, thanks you guys. This has been a very interesting conversation. I really appreciate you being so open about your experiences. And I think that our listeners will find this pretty interesting. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
And to all of our listeners, I want to wish you a happy Valentine's Day. You've been listening to Limitless, the Blind Beginnings podcast. I'm your host, Sean Marcellet. If you have a question or comment, send us an email to limitless@blindbeginnings.ca. And please join us again next time.
This podcast has been brought to you by Blind Beginnings, an organization based in Vancouver, Canada, that supports children and youth who are blind or partially sighted, along with their families. Music for this podcast is composed by Sean Bishop and Clement Chow. Production and audio editing by Rob Minot. For more information about Blind Beginnings and the work it does to support children and youth who are blind and partially sighted, along with their families, visit us on the web at www.blindbeginnings.ca. And also remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next time.